Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Tom McDonald, in for Dave Heller. The news, including here on WHYY, is full of stories related to the growing number of people addicted to opioid pills and heroin. Even presidential candidates, such as New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, make comments on it that go viral. In this edition of That's History, Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University, says while addiction is a horrible problem, he's disturbed by the racial implications of the coverage and attention. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good to be here.
Jonathan, what concerns you about the significant coverage of heroin and opioid abuse and addiction?
I think it's wonderful that politicians who formally said that we should just lock up people are talking more about prevention and treatment. The troubling part is the timing of all of this and the racial dimension. We've got to remember that nationwide, the heroin epidemic has become increasingly white. We think that 90% of people who tried heroin for the first time in the past decade were white. So it's impossible not to conclude that some of this new sympathy for heroin addicts does have to do with race, because in earlier eras where we associated heroin with other populations, you didn't see the same sympathy.
So it's about which people with drug addictions receive sympathy and which are portrayed as threats or criminals.
Yeah, I mean, and I think historically that's the best way to understand our attitudes towards drugs. They do change over time, but they change because of who does the drug. In the mid-19th century, the people that did opiates were largely middle-class white people. They were Civil War veterans for whom it was prescribed for what we would call PTSD. And they were often upper middle class white women, and it was prescribed for, you know, neurasthenia or weak nerves, things like that. But when it became associated with Chinese immigrants who smoked it in this scary place called an opium den, then it became a much more dangerous substance. The idea was if a white middle-class person is doing it, we don't have to worry about it as much. But if Chinese people are in what was essentially depicted as the crack house of the late 19th century, then you see demands for restriction and control.
And one of the things in your essay spoke about how when Coca-Cola, the beverage, came out, there were descriptions of who was addicted and who wasn't addicted.
Well, yeah, and this is another good illustration, I think, of the principle that the way we judge a drug has to do with who does it. Where do we get Coca-Cola from? Well, a Civil War veteran and a morphine addict from Georgia, whose name was John Pemberton, he tried to capitalize on this growing fad in Europe of cocaine-laden wines. And he had quite a bit of success, but then it becomes controversial. Why? He starts bottling it. Why is that controversial? Because now for the first time, African Americans can drink it. It was formerly served at soda fountains, and because of Jim Crow and segregation, they're barred from it. Now they can drink it, and then suddenly you see a very different attitude and fear and panic. What's it called? The cocaine Negro. And again, this builds on and echoes some of the worst kind of racial fantasies and falsehoods in our culture. And very quickly, Coca-Cola is persuaded to remove cocaine from the product.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has been talking about drug addiction as part of his campaign and the need to expand treatment for several years. Is this something more than a politician looking for publicity?
You know, all politicians want votes. But it seems to me that in this instance, what the voters are telling them is indeed the drug war has failed and we need a different approach. And I think it's great that they're putting one forward. But I think you do see race still working in the way we think about other drugs, especially cocaine. Let's think about powder and crack cocaine.
Right.
They're both illegal. But despite the efforts of the president and Eric Holder when he was attorney general, there are still disparate sentences for those two products. And I would submit to you that there's a very simple reason. African Americans are more likely to use the crack form and whites the powdered form.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was fun.
Jonathan Zimmerman is professor of history at New York University.